Mr. Gable.
If it please the court, I'm still Thomas Gable from the Southern District of Illinois, Assistant Federal Public Defender. Your Honor, the question that we have, the issue that we're putting forth, is whether or not the district court committed cumulative error by allowing two witnesses to give both expert and fact testimony without it taking enough precautions to distinguish between the two.
So is that your complaint, the dual nature of the testimony, or are you complaining about the substance, whether the expert aspect of it should have been admitted?
I think it's more of a nature that the dual characteristics confuse the jury, Your Honor.
And with that brings me to a trouble point. That is the nature of the objections that were made or not made. How was the judge to know that was the concern?
Your Honor, when we look at the trial itself, what happened is that FBI Special Agent Manns gave testimony that a shoulder movement that he saw was indicative of pulling a pistol out and dropping the gun. No one saw my client with a weapon. Everything that was testified to was circumstantial in nature. FBI Agent Manns had been shown to be an expert witness. The shoulder shrug became one of the key facts in the case. And whether or not it was fact testimony that he saw a shoulder shrug, which could have been obviously someone pulling up their pants before they ran, which my client actually did right after the shoulder shrug, or dropping a weapon, became that one of the key points for the jury to make the decision. As fact testimony, there's no problem with that. As expert testimony, there is.
Don't you think the district court took care of any problem by giving that pattern jury instruction 307? You know, it advised the jury that they could reject expert opinions in their discretion. So regardless.
If they gave it, Your Honor, and the only thing I can say is that this is after the fact. This is after the fact in both time and in.
And that gets really to my question, back to my question. The nature of the objection that was made, I don't think that would have given the district judge a clue that your concern was, or counsel's concern was, the dual nature of it so that there would be some separation between the fact testimony and the expert testimony.
I can see where that could be the case, Your Honor. The trouble is it was so intertwined in between fact and expert testimony that it's almost impossible at the time to say this sentence is fact and this sentence is expert. And
so counsel objects then and points that problem out, and the judge can give the expert instruction at that point, or can structure the exam in some way.
That's
and absent that, the cat's out of the bag, and the case, you know, you get to the final instructions, and the judge didn't know that was your concern.
Well, Your Honor, as you know, most of the time, none of us know what's going to be the key element in a criminal trial. We go in and we try to preserve what we can. The fact that we were mixing expert and fact testimony was a concern from the beginning.
There's no argument made by the defendant that the nature of the expert testimony wasn't disclosed. In other words, there's no complaint under Rule 16.
There's no complaint under Rule 16, Your Honor. The problem is when you have a law enforcement official that you certify as an expert, and then you don't focus, this is the expert testimony, but leave them on and cover a wide range of subjects. What's fact and what's expert? And that is what the real issue is, because especially in this case, we're looking at circumstantial evidence for that weapon. The facts in the case was that the lower body of my client was out of sight when the shrug took place, no one saw his hands. So what does a shrug mean? Now, the gun will tell you the shrug means that the gun was being tossed because the gun was found later. You know, and I understand that. But when a jury goes back and deliberates, they're thinking about an expert told us what it meant. And while objections were made, maybe not the right one. Your Honor, that concludes my portion of the briefing, minus any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Gable. Ms. Garrison.
Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honors, I believe the testimony in this case was simply fair and within bounds. I think the government was certainly entitled to explain to this jury that upon encountering a subject in the weeds with his back turned, who might be getting sick, who might be urinating, who might be intoxicated, the officers are going to be attentive based upon their training and experience to the subject's hands. Not his eyes on as a window of what he has in his mind, not on his feet, whether he might run, but on his hands, is he armed? And that was really the basis for the testimony. We were entitled to establish to the jury that the officers acted professionally and reasonably in response to a suspected armed subject. This was not an overreaction to public urination leading to a high-speed chase. I believe that there was a material omission in the appellant's brief in that there was not mention made to this court of the giving of instruction 3.07. What else could the jury have been told other than you can disregard the testimony of an expert witness entirely? There simply isn't any better way to put it.
Well, it could have been structured for the jury, and our court has had those cases that indicate that there ought to be a distinction made so the jurors know when they're hearing the witness as a fact witness and when they're hearing them as an expert witness. What did you do to help the judge make that distinction for the jury?
Well, certainly, Your Honor, there was not any objection made to this allegation of blurring between fact and witness testimony. So they simply got the standard instruction without any delineation of who is or who is not an expert. Frankly, I think that would have confused the jury more to say that, Agent Owens from ATF clearly was an expert witness on interstate nexus. Agent Belova was clearly an expert witness as to value of drugs. Arguably, reasonable minds could differ about whether Renner or Manns were asked to for lay opinion testimony or expert testimony. But to try to tell the jury sometimes they're wearing an expert witness hat and sometimes they're wearing a fact hat, I just think that would have confused it even more.
Or you could have structured the exam by going through all the facts first and then telling the judge, I'm now going to question him as an expert in the area of thus and so, and the following questions will relate to that subject.
Well, I think in substance that came out anyway. I mean, both of the officers were asked about their training and experience first. There were no objections made during Trooper Renner's testimony. After Agent Manns explained his experience, there was an objection, and it was mentioned, well, the purpose of the questioning is to show how attentive the officer would have been. So, you know, the jury did hear that. I would point out as well that some of the questions of Agent Manns in particular were invited by the cross-examination. The thrust of the cross-examination was, is it not possible that you could be mistaken? In fact, his movements were consistent with zipping up his pants. And at that point, Agent Mann stood and did a little bit of a reenactment. And I think it's hard to establish plain error under those circumstances when you've invited those types of questions. I would point out as well, there was abundant opportunity for cross-examination in the case. There is no complaint about sandbagging or lack of notice. Notice was given informally by way of correspondence. I can assure the court that as an officer of the court. There is as well in this case, Your Honor, no attack on the sufficiency of the evidence, which I think is relevant as well to the plain error review. And unless there are any further questions, the United States will rest on the brief in this case. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Garrison. Anything further, Mr. Gable?
As before, Your Honor, subject to your questions.
Doesn't look like there are any. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.